and smooth as the dolphins that rode the bow wave of the Gowrie merchant ships sailing into harbour.
"I am no friend to the sun, Ildiko."
His voice was tense, his body as well, as he stretched out on the bed.
"That's unfortunate," she said softly. "It's certainly a friend to you."
She traced a line of muscle from his knee to his inner thigh and felt him shiver under her palm. Sunlight filled the room. Ildiko took mercy on him, leaving the bed long enough to close the shutters and pitch the chamber into its usual candlelit shadows. Brishan enfolded her in his arms as soon as she returned and rolled her beneath him. Even with most of his weight on his elbows, he pressed her into the mattress, heavy on her.
"And what do you think of your dead eel in the daylight?"
Ildiko brushed a feathery strand of hair away from his eyes. "He pleases me greatly. The handsomest of eels." His high cheekbones angled sharply under her palms. "So says this hag."
"Who is most beautiful in the darkness?"
Brishan kissed her then, lingering on her mouth for several moments, before bestowing more of the fluttering caresses along the edge of her hairline and over the bridge of her nose. He murmured something else against her cheek. Caught up in the languorous sensations, Ildiko almost missed what he said. She blinked.
"Pardon?"
Brishan tucked his head down to nuzzle her cleavage before answering.
"If you're up to it, we will journey from here to Helmatter's township tonight. Remember the jeweller I told you about?" She nodded. "He will repair your necklace, and you can see more of my lands than just Sagara and the lake. Some of Serevek's as well. Isalur is the fortress, but his territory runs a fair length alongside mine."
Excitement took hold. She'd been at Sagara for months now, consumed with her duties as its new mistress and all the adjustments that living in a Kai household entailed. The short visit to the dye houses on the lake shore had only whetted her curiosity regarding the Kai kingdom and its people. She was eager to learn more. "Is it far?"
2 hours by horseback through the hilly terrain."
"Not far at all." She almost said yes, but hesitated, remembering all that Brishan had told her of his conversation with Serevek when they returned from High Silure. "Is it safe?" His brow stitched into a frown.
"You have my shield and protection, Ildiko."
She smoothed away the lines marring his skin with her thumb.
"I'm not just thinking of me."
He turned his face into her hand and kissed her palm.
"I know. You've witnessed the Kai in battle. We're formidable enough, and we protect ourselves and our own."
That was an understatement. Hard, heavy bones, fangs, claws, and a superior agility, the Kai were uniquely suited for battle.
"You don't have to go if that is your wish,"
he continued at her prolonged silence. She started.
"No, I want to go."
Ildiko had left all that was familiar to her to accompany a stranger who wasn't even human into an alien kingdom where she became the outsider, the stranger. She had learned, thrived, and found both love and friendship. No filthy pack of lawless mercenaries would make her a prisoner in her new home. Brishan glided a hand down her arm before trekking a path over her collarbones and down to cup a breast. His hips rocked gently on hers, and she spread her thighs so he settled more firmly into the cradle of her body.
"It will still be a long journey with the return trip. You should sleep."
Ildiko looped her arms around his neck and caressed the rope of hair hanging down his back. She gave Brishan a mock scowl.
"I'll sleep when I'm dead. Now, kiss me. We're wasting good daylight."
Their laughter soon changed to sighs and whispered encouragements spoken against skin sheened in perspiration. Ildiko embraced her lover, her husband, her best friend, and counted herself a most blessed wife. Chapter 20. Brisson hoped he might one day take Ildiko somewhere without a quarter of his regiment accompanying them. Caution, however, dictated that they have an escort. The attack made on their company on the great trade road as they travelled from Prisid to Haradis, combined with Serevec's earlier warnings, meant he and Ildiko went nowhere alone outside Sagara. He had reduced their escort to 20 of his more experienced fighters. Unlike the journey to Haisilur, they travelled at night. An unfriendly time for any group of raiders who might think of attacking. While they'd come near Belladine borders, those lands belonged to Serevec, whose troops vigilantly patrolled and protected them. An unfriendly place for any who wanted to cause trouble. Brisson glanced at his wife as she rode beside him. She held a confident seat in the saddle, even with the challenge of navigating the hilly path that led to Halmatus township in the dark. She wore her heavier cloak for the cold nights, but her head was bare. The red hair, which he at first thought garish, but now beautiful, shimmered multiple shades of grey under the moonlight. She'd kept her hood down at his insistence.
"You don't need this," he told her earlier, as they ready to mount and ride out of Sagara.
He pushed back the hood, exposing her braided hair and pale features. He'd spent the last hour before sundown studying her face as she slept next to him. Had he truly ever thought her ugly? Ildiko tucked a few strands of hair that had come loose from her braid behind her ears. "There will be a lot of stares and talk."
Brisson took her hand to lightly trace the lines of her palm with one nail. "Let them talk. Let them stare. It matters not. Besides, you are the Hersegese, wife of Sagara's Hersegus. You hide from no one."
They crossed a bridge spanning a narrow ravine. Far below, a lazy river wound like a black ribbon to disappear around a bend of sheer rock face. A waterfall's dull roar sounded nearby, background resonance to the creak of wood under horse hooves as their party rode single file over the bridge. They arrived at Halmata shortly before midnight. Built in a sheltered dale, the town glimmered like a nest of fireflies under a tree canopy. Pleased to discover that he'd inadvertently chosen the weekly market night to visit the town, Brisson escorted Ildiko through the narrow streets, lined with temporary stalls, filled with various wares and food offered by Kai farmers and merchants. Their presence drew a curious crowd, and the stares and talk Ildiko predicted rested heavy on his shoulders and thick in his ears. Ildiko paid no attention, and instead engaged the various vendors in nearly flawless Baskai. Only once did she hint of her awareness of the town's singular focus on her. She stepped away from the protection of Brisson's silhouette so that she was in full view of the crowd. Her closed lips' smile gave away her intent.
"Ildiko," Brisson warned, and blocked the crowd's view just as her eyes slid toward each other and met on either side of her nose.
They slid back in place just as quickly, making Brisson twitch and the Kai soldiers closest to them exclaim under their breaths. Ildiko sighed. "Oh, you've ruined a perfectly good opportunity to provide gossip for years to come."
"And saved a few people from being trampled by those trying to get away from you."
He nudged her towards the next stall.
"Try not to start a panic, wife."
The low sound of her laughter teased his ears and recalled a moment hours earlier when she'd laughed the same way while torturing him with soft kisses planted down the centre of his back. His nostrils flared and he shoved the memory away before his breeches grew uncomfortable and he began searching for a secluded spot where he might swive his wife. Her sorcery shredded his ability to think sensibly. They found the jeweller's shop at the end of one of the lanes. Unlike his fellow townsmen, the merchant never revealed shock or surprise at Ildiko's appearance. He inspected the necklace and broken clasp she presented to him, and promised the repair was simple enough. A price and delivery date was agreed upon. A shrewd businessman, he offered to show her more of his work. Brishan fled outside to wait by the door. When Ildiko emerged from the shop, he tucked her hand into the crook of his arm.
"Am I a pauper now?"
She gave him an arch look.
"I doubt it. I bought one thing."
He surveyed her person, noting neither bauble on her neck nor package in her hand.
"What is it?"
Ildiko lifted her chin. "You'll see it when they deliver it with my necklace." Word of the Hesegese's visit travelled fast through Halmatters, and the town's mayor was quick to issue an invitation to dine. Anuzet abandoned Brishan and Ildiko to their fate with a salute and a grin.
"You'll find the rest of us at the Crooked Shank Tavern, where the ale is thick and the company better."
Her words proved prophetic. The food at the mayor's home was fair, the company tiresome and ridiculous. Brishan liked the man well enough. The mayor's wife was another matter. Despite Ildiko's best efforts to put her at ease, the woman couldn't stop staring round-eyed at her. Too busy gawking to mind what she was doing, she nearly poured wine into Ildiko's lap twice. Brishan breathed a sigh of relief when it was over, and they made their escape. Ildiko looked no worse the wear for their trouble.
"They didn't serve scarpetine," she said. "I consider it a successful meal."
"Do you want to visit the tavern? I think Anuzet is right about the food and company."
Ildiko shook her head.
"No, I'll cause too much of a stir. Let our escort enjoy themselves. You can give me a tour of the town, and I'll have you to myself for once."
He happily acquiesced to her wishes. Halmatters was small, surrounded by thick woodland. At its outskirts, Brishan paused and took advantage of the brief privacy afforded them. He tilted Ildiko's face up to his, with a gentle thumb under her chin. Her skin glowed lustrous as a pearl in the moonlight.
"Kiss me," he demanded softly. "I've craved the touch of your mouth ever since we left Sagara."
It didn't matter to him if all of Halmatters heard his satisfied groans as she made love to him with her lips and the fine caress of her hands. They couldn't quit this place or get home soon enough to satisfy him. His human wife had become a fire in his blood and spirit, as hot and bright as her red hair.
"We leave them alone for what, 2 hours? And now we're chasing after them like nannies after toddlers."
Anuzet's waspish tones carried over the whispering lullaby of trees rustling in the breeze. Ildiko's mouth drifted over his in a fading kiss.
"I think we're in trouble," she murmured.
"Fan out and find them," Anuzet ordered. "Knock on every door if you have to." Brishan growled, annoyed and yet pleased with his cousin's vigilance. He set Ildiko from him and took her hand.
"Come, we'll need to reveal ourselves before she puts the entire town in an uproar."
Anuzet's scowl forewarned Brishan he was in for a tongue-lashing. He halted whatever admonishment hovered on her lips.
"Thought is often wiser than speech, Shah Anuzet," he said in his coldest, loftiest tones, "lest we forget who rules here and who does not."
Her lips thinned to a tight line, but she bowed, along with the rest of their escort.
"Are you ready to depart, Hesegus?" she asked in an equally frigid voice.
He nodded, and she sent the soldiers off to gather the horses and meet in the town square. When it was just he, Ildiko, and Anuzet, his cousin rounded on him.
"Are you trying to worry me into an early death?" she snapped.
"Stop henpecking me," he snapped back. "I have a wife for that, and even she doesn't do it."
Muffled laughter sounded next to him. Ildiko stared at them both with watery eyes and a hand clapped over her mouth. She lowered her hand and compressed her lips in an obvious effort to contain her mirth.
Sorry,
she managed to gasp out between giggles. Anuzette didn't share in her amusement. Her expression darkened before she bowed a second time. I will see you both in the town square. Brishan remained unsure if that was a promise or a threat.
You can trust us to be there, Anuzette, Ildiko called to her.
We'll see, the other woman said shortly. She strode away, back stiff with outrage.
She loves you, you know.
Ildiko glanced at Brishan.
She would do anything you asked of her.
Brishan nodded. Ildiko told him nothing he didn't already know. We're bound to each other by blood and secrets. She is the child of my father's sister and the only true sibling I've ever had. He met Ildiko's gentle gaze and sighed. She's also older than me, with an unfortunate tendency to either mother me or order me about if I allow it. The mayor, his goggle-eyed wife, and a bevy of councilmen were in the square to see them off. Brishan and Ildiko bid polite goodbyes and promised another visit soon. The moon had begun her journey towards the horizon by the time they rode the path that led them back to Sagara. The ravine and its bridge came into view. Their party had started out from Halmatus in high spirits, with much small talk and joking exchanged. The atmosphere slowly changed, their group growing quieter, tenser. The trickle of unease that made the spot between Brishan's shoulder blades tingle became an icy stream that froze the length of his spine. He edged his horse closer to Ildiko. Anuzette did the same on Ildiko's other side. Brishan caught his cousin's eye and spoke softly, using a pidgin Kai spoken by the lakeside dyers and understood by very few who weren't Kai.
Do you feel that?
Anuzette nodded. We're being watched. They all felt it, a distinct scrutiny edged with malice. All around him, hands eased towards sword pommels and shifted shields into protective position. The horses picked up on their riders' unease, snorting and prancing their agitation as they rode toward the bridge. Ildiko's eyes flickered first to Anuzette, then to Brishan.
What's wrong?
She asked softly. Brishan signalled behind her, and two of his men closed the space behind her horse, creating a shield wall of man, metal and steed. It was likely too late to disguise her now. She stood out among them like a beacon, but better late than not at all. Ildiko, he said in his most casual tone, raise your hood, as if you're just keeping the wind off your hair, and do exactly as I tell you, when I tell you. What little colour flowed under her pale skin leached away to a pallor greyed with fear. She did as he instructed, making a show of fussing with her braids before pulling the hood up until her features were hidden. Brishan loosened the leather guard covering the blade of his hand axe he wore at his hip. The air around them hung thick with tension. An unnatural silence, broken only by the steady clop of horse hooves. A battle cry shattered the stillness, followed by a bright flash of light. Brishan bellowed a curse at the sudden light blindness and turned his face into his hood. His mount slammed into Ildiko's mare.
Down, Ildiko!
He bellowed at her, shoving her face towards the mare's withers, just as a thin ripple of cold air shot a breath away from his face. A thunk sounded, followed by a heavy groan and the creak of a saddle. They were easy targets for arrows while mounted, and Ildiko cried out when Brishan dragged her off the saddle with him to hit the ground amidst the chaos of soldiers struggling to control panicked horses. They were partially shielded by equine bodies from the pulsing flare of light that left him and his fellow Kai virtually sightless. Anuzette barreled into him, sword drawn. Her lips were drawn back from her fangs in a grimace.
Belladine!
she shouted, just as a volley of arrows rained over them from the trees. "The fletching is Belladine!" A chorus of howls rang from the shadows. Brisson clutched Ildiko to him, crouched low among the milling horses.
Mage finders. The scum had brought mage hounds.
He pried Ildiko off him and thrust her towards Anuzette.
"Take her and get across the bridge now!"
The arrow volleys were simply the first phase. If he didn't get her out of here now, she'd die. Ildiko clutched at him, her strange eyes huge and dark with terror.
"No, Brisson!"
Anuzette didn't hesitate. She wrapped her arm around Ildiko and slung her over her shoulder. Her own expression was as fearful as Ildiko's and full of rage.
"Stay alive!"
she ordered, before sprinting away with a struggling Ildiko. Brisson caught Anuzette's horse, looped the reins over the saddle horn, and slapped the animal on the flank. It shot out of the mayhem towards its mistress. Riderless and seemingly out of control, it darted towards Anuzette unscathed by arrow fire. His cousin altered her path to run parallel, and he lost sight of her for just a moment. Silver hair and muted red mingled in the shadows as Anuzette leapt atop her mount's back, dropped Ildiko before her into the saddle, and kicked the horse into a dead run. They were past the first hurdle, but the bridge ran long and arrows flew fast. More cries echoed from the forest, this time led by the trumpet of a horn. Brisson drew hard on the sleeping magic bequeathed to him by his sire and all those who came before him. It rolled through him, pooling into his hands.
Somewhere a battle mage lurked among the trees, casting light spells to render the Kai blind.
He uttered an ancient word, one spoken by Kai sorcerers who built its spell from the power of shadow and Kai reverence for all things born of the night. A blast of darkness shot from Brisson's fingers and snuffed out the light flares. Cries of dismay and surprise mingled with shouts of triumph. Brisson forced down the wave of weakness that threatened to buckle his knees. He could finally see well enough to fight. He shouted to his men,
"To the trees! Kill their mage! Kill their dogs!"
A Belladine attacker burst out of the underbush towards him, swinging a short-handled scythe. Trained for war, as all his kin were, Brisson met the attack with knife and axe. The two men slammed into each other, Brisson's heavier weight forcing his opponent backwards. Brisson slashed his throat and was sprinting through the trees before the spray of blood even touched him. All around him, Kai battled Belladine in bloody skirmishes. He cleaved the skull of an archer and hobbled a swordsman before decapitating him with one swing of the axe. He leapt over the head as it rolled under his feet. Battle rage coursed through his veins in a hot river. Even as he methodically cut a bloody sway through the ranks of enemies, swarming out of the forest understory and dropping from the trees. Someone shouted, and their message sent Brisson's heart jumping to his throat.
"The Gowry bitch! She's crossing the bridge!"
Brisson tore through the forest, bolting out of the tree line in time to see an archer take aim at the fleeing horse and its two riders as they raced towards the other side of the ravine. Every sound around him faded to silence. Every movement narrowed to the archer's flexing shoulder as he drew the bowstring. The Princess Agara didn't pray to gods, but to the bloodied axe he held.
"Be true,"
he whispered, and flung the weapon as hard as he could. The archer slammed forward, the axe blade buried between his shoulders, and teetered on the ravine's edge before pitching into the abyss. Brisson sprinted for the bridge, just as a dozen Belladine riders galloped onto its span.
Oh, gods, no!
He was fast, but he'd never catch them. He could outrun a human, but not a horse.
"Commander, what do you need?"
Two of his Kai, splattered in blood, raced to his side. A pack of Belladine attackers pursued them.
"Hold them off as long as you can,"
he ordered. The magic would get him killed, but he had no choice. If he didn't use it, Anuzet's pursuers would catch her. She'd kill Harf before they took her down, but she'd still die, and so would Ildiko. He set his hands on the bridge's first plank. More words of power. These, a sizzling wash of pain that threatened to peel his skin back from his bones. He waited, precious seconds until Anuzet's horse touched the ground on the other side of the ravine. He closed his eyes, dizzy from relief and the blazing agony that poured down his arms. He unleashed the last part of the spell. A rolling tide of flame roared across the bridge, consuming it with a ravenous hunger and engulfing screaming horses and their horrified riders. Brishan staggered to his feet, only to be thrown sideways. He and his attacker wrestled across the ground. Weakened and slowed by the ravages of spellwork, Brishan struggled to free himself from the grip of a Belladine sellsword twice his size. The man slammed Brishan's hand against the protruding rock. His fingers went numb, and he lost the grip on his knife. His enemy snarled in triumph. Brishan snarled back before lunging up to sink his fangs into the man's neck. A gurgling scream set his ear to ringing, and the sour taste of unwashed human sweat and blood filled his mouth. He jerked his head, tore out flesh with his teeth, and half drowned as gouts of hot gore splashed his face and neck. He spat out the hunk of meat and shoved the dead mercenary off him. Half blinded once more, this time by blood instead of light, he stood. The Kai who'd come to help him fought hard, but were overwhelmed by sheer numbers. Brishan took up his opponent's sword and ran toward them, no longer fleet and sure-footed. A menacing growl was his only warning before a whirlwind of dusty brown fur shot towards him. He spun at the last moment, sword blade slicing upward. A canine yelp told him he'd hit his target, just as a dead magefinder landed nearby in the dirt. The same voice that alerted others of Ildiko's and Anuzet's escape shouted again, enraged, desperate.
"Bring him down! Bring that Kai bastard down!"
He heard the warning hisses of air, but his body refused to obey his mind's screaming commands to get out of the way. The first arrow took him in the right shoulder, the second in the upper left thigh, the third in the right. Brishan crashed to his knees. His vision blurred, and he swayed under the sudden heavy weight of a net. It tangled around his limbs, a living thing, as sinuous and gripping as the tentacled sea creatures he'd heard of in stories. The side of a club was the last thing he saw, before the inside of his skull exploded in a shower of hot agony. Darkness followed, and in this blackness he could not see. Chapter 21. The trees did their best to claw Ildiko and Anuzet from the saddle, their outstretched limbs whipping and scratching as Anuzet's gelding galloped hard into the dark forest. Ildiko, wedged between Anuzet and the saddle pommel, stared blindly into the blackness, its edges feathered away by a distant glow that teased the corner of her eye. Brishan. Her last glimpse of him had been a wavering view of his back as he plunged into the chaos of horses, blind Kai, and a hail of arrows. She'd struggled in Anuzet's hold to break free, to run back to her husband, to do something other than flee. The Kai woman's unyielding grip proved unbreakable. Ildiko had been a breath away from vomiting after the violent pitching she suffered while thrown across her captor's shoulder. Her vision spun when she was upended and slung into the saddle of the still-galloping horse. A metallic glimmer caught her eye, moonlight on steel. Anuzet thrust the handle of a dagger into her hand. "Take this," she ordered in a grim voice that warned against argument. "Stab anything that moves." Ildiko barely had her fingers around the handle when a rippling shadow shot out of the dark from her left side and rushed the horse. Their attacker emitted a screeching cry, one echoed by Ildiko. Grasping hands tore at her skirts and leg, while the horse neighed and danced sideways. She did exactly as Anuzette instructed, plunging the dagger toward the figure hanging off the saddle. An agonized scream, the give of flesh as the dagger sank deep, and the warm wash of blood coating her hand were her rewards. Their attacker fell away, only to be replaced by another and another, who swarmed out of the underbrush like insects from a disturbed mound. Anuzette's mount joined in the fight, kicking and rearing. One attacker slammed into a nearby tree and curled into the fetal position, clutching his belly. Anuzette shoved the reins into Ildiko's hands.
"Guide the horse!"
Ildiko grabbed the reins, lost the dagger, and kicked the gelding hard in the sides. He leapt into a gallop, dragging someone beside him. Behind Ildiko, Anuzette twisted one way and then the other, her arms stretched out on either side, swords in hand as she swung at their attackers. She slammed hard into Ildiko's back twice with a grunt, but held her seat to slash their way free. They plunged through the wood, Ildiko as blind as a kai at noon, and praying she hadn't turned them around and ridden straight for the ravine and a fast descent to their death. Escaping the last raider, they rounded a copse of trees and raced into a clearing. Wide open and ablaze in moonlight, the clearing left them more exposed. Ildiko turned the gelding back toward the tree line. They couldn't go back the way they came, but if they hugged the border that travelled an eastern path, the low-hanging branches of some of the trees would shield them. She had, at least, led them away from the ravine instead of towards it. Her companion was ominously quiet behind her. Ildiko glanced over her shoulder.
"Anuzette?"
The other woman answered with a slow exhalation and promptly slid out of the saddle, taking a startled Ildiko with her. They both hit the ground, Ildiko's fall partially cushioned by Anuzette's arm. The horse tossed his head and pranced to the side before trotting a small distance away, reins dragging behind him. Ildiko stumbled to her feet and gasped. Anuzette lay on her side, facing Ildiko. An arrow shaft protruded from her left shoulder, another just above her left hip. She inhaled and exhaled slow breaths, and her gold coin eyes were dull. Ildiko crouched before her, bloodied hands drifting over, but not touching the places where the arrows had embedded themselves in armour and flesh.
"Anuzette, why didn't you say something?"
The woman tried to shrug, but only managed a twitch of one shoulder. "Because there was nothing to say. I think the arrows are dipped in Marceret's sap." Her voice was as dull as her eyes, the words oozing off a thickened tongue. Ildiko closed her eyes. If the arrowheads were dipped in Marceret, as Anuzette predicted, she'd be numb from the shoulders to her feet in moments, unable to move. Even if she weren't dead weight from the poison, she was far too heavy for Ildiko to lift and hoist onto the horse. They were doomed, stranded here, while whatever surviving raiders lurked in the woods caught up to them. A gust of hot air, thick with the green scent of grass, flooded her neck and the side of her face. She opened her eyes to find Anuzette's horse had ambled back to them. One liquid dark eye trained on her, as if to ask how long they planned to sit there. Ildiko might have laughed if she didn't so badly want to scream. Anuzette's head lolled. "I can't feel my arms or legs." A dog's triumphant howl followed her declaration and sent Ildiko's heart drumming in her chest.
"Oh, gods! More mage finders!"
"Run." Anuzette's eyes gave a slow owl's blink. "They're scenting me, not you. Take the horse, run," she repeated. Ildiko sprang to her feet.
I'm not leaving you here.
The glimmer of moonlit steel caught her eye, and she found the two sabres Anuzette had wielded against their attackers during the wild ride through the woods. They lay in the grass, one behind Anuzette, the other near her outstretched fingers. Blood, made black in silver light, streaked the blades. Ildiko retrieved the one closest to her, surprised by its overall lightness in her hand and the weighted tilt toward the tip of the blade.
Stupid human woman.
Anuzette's words slurred together. You'll die if you stay.
Silence.
Ildiko scowled, but kept her eyes trained on the stretch of tree line from where the canine sounds originated.
Obviously the sap doesn't work on your disrespectful tongue.
Stupid or not, she had no intention of abandoning a helpless Anuzette on the cold ground to be torn apart by a pack of magefinders. The sword no longer felt light in her grasp, and she gripped it with both hands. Her stomach plummeted to her feet when the first magefinder shot out of the tree line. A fur-clad lightning bolt, built of long legs, glistening fangs, and eyes as yellow and fierce as any Kai's, but far more bestial. It was followed by another, and then a third, and they loped across the clearing, their bays muted to snarls as they closed the distance between them and Ildiko.
Bend your knees and swing as hard as you can.
Anuzette's voice sounded far away in Ildiko's ears, but she did as the other bid and braced herself. Her lungs felt starved for air, though she breathed harder than an exhausted horse. Rivulets of sweat streamed down her sides under her clothes and made her gore-sticky hands slippery on the sword grip. She forced herself not to flinch and close her eyes when the first dog leapt at her. She screamed and swung just as a blurred dark line flew past her vision, followed by a meaty thunk. The dog's legs snapped together in mid-stride before it hit the ground and skidded to a stop. An arrow sunk deep in its neck. Another whine of air teased her ear before the second dog met a similar fate. Ildiko pivoted in time to see a horse and armoured rider gallop past her to take down the third hound with a sword.
Highness, are you all right?
Still clutching the sword, Ildiko turned towards the familiar voice.
Serevek?
He strode toward her, lightly armoured and carrying a bow. He'd been the one to kill two of the dogs, his soldier the third. His gaze assessed her for injuries, and he gave an approving nod at the sight of her clutching one of Anuzette's swords. A half dozen more mounted Belladine warriors emerged from the trees across the clearing, one leading a riderless horse. Anuzette's own mount wickered a greeting as they surrounded Ildiko and the fallen Kai woman. Ildiko held onto the sword and refused to budge from Anuzette's side. The part of her brain that still functioned on reason assured her that if Serevek had ordered this attack, it wouldn't have failed. Still, her muscles quivered and her heart thundered as the Belladine lord drew closer. He knelt before Anuzette, who watched him with narrowed eyes gone from glowing gold to muddy yellow. He glanced at Ildiko.
We tried to reach you at the bridge. Too late. We killed the two handlers following the dogs, but expect more dogs, more raiders. You've crossed into my territory. They'll think themselves safe here. More fool them.
He motioned to one of his men, who dismounted, and handed him an axe similar in size to the one she'd seen Brisham carry.
What are you doing?
She asked. He removed the blade guard.
We'll travel easier if I can cut down the arrow shaft sticking out of a ladyship here.
Poisoned and immobilised, Anuzette still managed enough movement to curl her fingers and take a weak swipe at Serevek. One claw caught a fold in his breeches near the knee and neatly split it open.
Don't touch me, Belladine pig, she mumbled.
Serevek sighed, and quicker than Ildiko could blink, snapped his knuckles against Anuzette's chin. Her head jerked before her eyes closed. and she went completely limp.
Ildiko gasped.
She'll kill you for that when she wakes up.
Serevek winked and took a flat rock one of his soldiers handed to him, along with a folded blanket.
No, she won't. I'll tell her you did it.
He braced the blanket, with the stone on top, against her back. The arrow in her shoulder was lodged between two of the armour plates sewn to the gambeson. Ildiko flinched when Serevek brought the axe down on the shaft, shortening it to the length of a small spoon handle. Quick, efficient, and steady, he did the same with the arrow at her hip. The unconscious Anuzette jerked, but didn't waken. Serevek stroked her silver hair with a big hand.
Easy, my beauty. I'm done.
He looked to Ildiko.
Can you control her mount?
Yes. The shock of facing certain brutal death, only to be rescued by the sudden appearance of Serevek and his men, left her light-headed and unable to utter more than monosyllabic responses. If the Belladine Lord noticed, he didn't remark on it.
Good. Anuzette will ride with me.
He scooped the Kai woman into his arms, his features darkening as he slowly lifted her. He staggered and exhaled a harsh breath.
Oh, damn Kai, he said in a strained voice. Heavier than a sack of wet bricks.
His reaction to lifting Anuzette confirmed what Ildiko had guessed. There was no possible way she could have moved her wounded companion or gotten her back on her horse. Serevek made his way to the one horse with no rider. Bigger than the others, it snorted in protest and laid back its ears as its master mounted with his burden. Their party gathered supplies. One of the Belladine soldiers retrieved Anuzette's second sword where it lay in the grass and gently pried the other from Ildiko's stiff fingers.
Do you need help onto your gelding, Your Highness?
She shook her head. She wasn't much good with blades, but she could at least swing into a saddle by herself. Serevek eyed her as she rode up next to him.
Whose blood stains your hands? It isn't Anuzette's, and I see no wound on you.
We were attacked in the woods. I stabbed one of them when he tried to pull me off the horse.
A flicker of amusement softened Serevek's sombre face.
Soft, gowrie noblewoman with hidden savagery.
He kneed his horse forward.
I should visit Prisid one day.
Free from the forest labyrinthine darkness, Ildiko had regained her sense of direction, and a choking panic blackened the edges of her vision. They were riding away from Sagara and help. She trotted next up to Serevek and wheeled Anuzette's horse in front of his mount to block their path. Serevek's horse snorted when his rider hauled back on the reins to keep from ploughing into the other horse. She ignored Serevek's scowl.
We have to go back to the bridge. Now! Help Brishan and the others! We can't just leave them there!
Serevek's expression softened.
That battle is long over by now, Highness. You need to trust me that what I'm doing will help Brishan.
He pointed to an unseen path somewhere within the trees.
There's a hidden sanctuary not far from here, an old temple bound by magic to confuse the dogs. We'll stay there for now. I sent messengers to Sagara. If my guess is right, we'll have my men and more of the Kai here by morning.
He gently adjusted the unconscious Anuzette in his arms.
Did you see what happened to the Hersigus?
It was impossible to speak around the knot of tears lodged in her throat. Ildiko swallowed several times before answering.
No, he was in the thick of the fighting when I last saw him, and that was only a glimpse.
For all she knew, the Kai would arrive, with one bearing the news that he or she carried Brisham's mortem light within them. The grim thought made it hard to breathe.
Don't lose heart, Ildiko.
Serevek abandoned his formality in an effort to comfort her.
They won't kill him. Not yet, at least.
His words did nothing to lessen her fear for Brishan. The ruins Serevek led them to butted up against a gentle slope surrounded by trees.
Ildiko had no sorcery of her own, but even she sensed the presence of power here. The Belladine mounts balked at moving closer. Accustomed to the thrum and whisper of magic that every Kai possessed, no matter how weak, Anuzet's gelding picked his way among the stones, unconcerned. The other horses soon followed. Serevek motioned to the other riders, complicated hand signals that mystified Ildiko, but that his soldiers understood. Three dismounted and melted into the shadows that ringed the temple's perimeter. The remaining three gathered up the horses and led them deeper into the ruined sanctuary, to shelter behind the ridges of broken half-walls and copses of pillars. In the far distance, a familiar howl rode the moonlight. Ildiko shuddered. Not again. She followed Serevek, who carried his unconscious burden through the low doorway of a tiny chapel within the temple ruin. The blackness inside hung thick enough to pour from a bottle, and the skitter and squeak of disturbed rats played on her ears. She leapt aside at the suspicious slither of something gliding along the floor near her foot.
No light yet, Ildiko.
Serevek's deep voice was more vibration than sound.
We wait.
They stood in the suffocating silence, listening as the rustle of leaves stirred up by running feet crackled nearby. Long sniffs and quiet growls joined them. Ildiko clenched her teeth together and tried not to breathe. Her heartbeat drummed so loud in her head, she was certain their pursuers could hear her.
Anything?
A voice called out in the common tongue.
Another answered.
Fresh tracks, but it's not a big party, and the hooves are shod with shoes of Belladine making, not Kai.
Patrol, then. We're within Belladine territory, but it's Isolur. That bastard Pangian would as soon hang us with our own innards as wink at us. His troops won't be too friendly if they come across us. Let's go.
Don't you want to search the temple?
Ildiko felt Serevek tense even more beside her, and his soft breath stopped altogether.
Why bother? Look at the mage finders. They're just whining and sniffing about, probably smelling badger or deer scat.
The girl is riding with a Kai. If they were here, we'd know it by now. We'll keep going. I'm not too keen to cross a patrol anyway.
I'm not keen on crossing that Kai. You saw what she did in the clearing. Took down all three hands.
Just means you need to be on your guard. Let's go.
The minutes of silence stretched into an eternity of stillness until a nightbird's call sounded outside.
They're gone.
Serevek spoke in conversational volume. Shuffling noises accompanied his statement.
Outside, Highness, but we can see our hands in front of our faces.
The moonlight seemed like the noonday sun after her time in the chapel's sepulchral darkness. Ildiko blinked and caught sight of Serevek as he crouched to settle Anuzet gently on the ground. The Kai woman lay ominously still, but her chest rose and fell in easy rhythm, and Ildiko exhaled a relieved sigh. Serevek rose.
Stay with her, he said. I need to get supplies for my horse.
He paused to give instructions to the two soldiers who stood guard nearby, before disappearing into the foliage surrounding the temple grounds. When he returned, he carried a small satchel, a blanket and a bottle. He dropped down next to Ildiko, who was stroking Anuzet's hair from her face. He fished inside the satchel and retrieved an oddly shaped utensil. Diamond-shaped, with a shallow lip folded inward on all sides, it vaguely resembled a spoon, though Ildiko couldn't figure out how such a design might adequately hold porridge, and would never contain broth.
"What is that?" she asked.
Serevek took the knife belted at his side and cut away the laces on Anuzet's hauberk.
"An arrow spoon. If our luck holds, I won't have to use it."
He didn't expound further, and split the stitching around the armoured scales that were sewn to the gambeson, and surrounded the shortened arrow shaft sticking out of Anuzet's shoulder. He cut through the quilted gambeson next to the clothing underneath. He set the knife aside.
I'm going to lift her up. I need you to peel away the hauberk and clothes. Quick, but gentle. Can you do it?
She nodded, and the two set to work. Anuzette rested still in Serevec's embrace, while Ildiko eased the hauberk, gambeson, and shirt off her shoulders and away from the arrow shaft. Serevec laid the Kai woman onto her right side and bent for a closer look at the shoulder wound.
I think it's a bodkin tip. I won't know until I cut into her.
Ildiko blanched, and Serevec's responding smile lacked all humour.
It's a mercy she's suffering through Marceret poisoning. I'll have to work fast before it wears off.
He cut away Anuzet's trousers while Ildiko removed her boots. Naked in the cold air, her grey skin riddled with goose flesh, she shivered lightly. Ildiko covered her legs with the blanket for warmth and added her own cloak for protection. Serevec pulled a small candle from his satchel and coaxed a flame from the wick using flint, steel and charcloth. He passed the candle to Ildiko.
I'm no Kai to be cutting into wounds in the dark, so hold that steady and don't let the flame die.
He doused the blade with the contents from the bottle he'd brought back with him. Smoke rose in tendrils from the blade. He glanced at Ildiko, whose eyes had rounded at the sight.
Polita's tears. Good for drinking and keeps wounds from festering.
You drink that?
She'd heard of Polita's tears, named after the goddess of dragons. It laid low any who dared to taste its brew.
Surely something that made metal smoke wasn't safe to imbibe.
Sometimes, when I want to forget.
Serevec positioned himself so that Anuzet lay recumbent between his knees, her chest pressed against one of his thighs, while he braced her back with the other. He trickled more of the drink onto the wound. Ildiko flinched, right along with the unconscious Anuzet. While the drink might smoke metal, it didn't burn the skin. Serevet's legs flexed against his patient as he made incisions with the knife and widened the wound. Ildiko poured Polita's tears over his bloodied fingers as he felt for the arrowhead. Anuzette didn't move, but a small moan escaped her lips. Serevec's shoulders sagged in obvious relief.
Bodkin, he said. Not broadhead. Bad enough, but easier to remove.
Blood ran in thin rills down Anuzette's back, staining Serevec's breeches as he worked. The arrow shaft detached from the tip, but not before he managed to extract the bodkin from the wound. Ildiko gave up her overskirt to use as bandages. Serevec packed the wound with moss he pulled from his satchel and bound it with strips cut from the skirt. They repeated the process on Anuzette's hip. By the time they were done, her clawed fingers had begun to flex and relax against her palm, and dawn gilded the edges of the eastern-facing trees with pink light. Will she be all right? Ildiko tucked the blanket and cloak more closely around Anuzette. The shivering had stopped, but her breathing had turned more erratic. Serevec stood and wiped away the perspiration on his brow with his forearm.
I think so. Kai are hard to kill.
Have you killed them? His mouth quirked.
A few. We have our raiders. They have theirs. Your husband and I deal with both, because they cross into each of our territories. It's just a matter of who gets to them first.
He took a seat next to Ildiko, grabbed the bottle of Polita's tears and tipped it to his lips. The first swallow made him gasp and shake like a wet dog, but didn't stop him from taking a second swallow. He offered the bottle to Ildiko, who shook her head, preferring not to torture her already queasy stomach even more. Serevec passed her a flask of water instead, so she could rinse the blood from her hands.
"Why didn't the dog sniff us out?" she asked.
Serevec placed a bottle of spirits between them and draped his arms over his knees. His gaze drifted to Anuzet's face and stayed.
They did, but their task was to hunt Kai, not humans. The sorcery lingering here confused them and made Anuzet hard to detect. Didn't their handlers know such a thing might happen? He shrugged. Only if they were familiar with this land, or a Kai. This temple sits inside my borders, but it's Kai built, and once Kai worshipped. Brishan told me about it a couple of years ago, while we shared a bottle of tears between us, and commiserated on the vagaries of volatile mistresses.
He winked at Ildiko. Ildiko tried to smile at the idea of the two men crying on each other's shoulder over women, but her lips refused to obey. She couldn't get the image out of her mind of Brishan's set features when he thrust her at Anuzet and shouted for them to ride for the bridge. She'd seen death in that glowing gaze. His death. She blinked to fight back the tears that suddenly blurred her vision.
How did you find me and Anuzet?
Serevek tipped the bottle again before answering.
A rumour about the ambush reached High Salur. By the time I dispatched a rider to Sagara to warn the Hersigas, you were already at Halmatta's township. We set out to meet you, but were too late.
It did no good to dwell on what ifs, but Ildiko couldn't help but think how their fate might have differed if they had waited one more day before leaving Sagara.
I wonder if this is the same pack that attacked us on the trade road after Brishan and I were married.
Probably not. That attempt failed. Whoever's moving the pieces on this board doesn't want to fail twice. They've supplied this party with mage hounds to anyone or anything with magery like the Kai. An expensive weapon, far outside the means of even the most successful raiders. I suspect half this group isn't even Belladine, so they're bringing in cell swords with no allegiance except to the sacks of coins paid to them.
Ildiko recalled the brief exchange between Brishan and Anuzet, when the night's darkness had exploded into blinding flashes of light.
They have a battle mage with them as well.
Saravek scowled.
That will be a problem when we retrieve your husband.
When they retrieved him, not if. His matter-of-fact reply gave her hope, despite its dire prediction regarding the mage. Do you really think Brishan's still alive? She held on to the hope that he was. Her husband was a formidable fighter, but who knew how many raiders they faced, or the sorcery used against him and the other Kai by the mage? Saravek held up one of the two arrowheads he'd extracted from Anuzet. Coated in dried blood, its dagger-like point bounced a stray beam of anemic sunlight off its tip.
These are Marceret Tip Bodkins. If they wanted to kill Brishan and you right away, they would have used broadheads. The bodkins pierce armour and bring down horses. But a man shot with one can survive longer than if he were shot with a broadhead. Had it been the second, Anuzet would have bled out before she even fell from her horse.
He tossed the arrowhead aside.
I have no doubt Brishan is alive and a prisoner. Your escape put a knot in their plans. They were in a better position to force either the Kai or the Gowri to negotiate or break their alliance in order to save you. They only have one of you now. But that's enough to begin negotiations for his life with the Kai Royal House of Kashkam.
Ildiko almost burst into tears at that. Her hand trembled as she reached for Saravek's bottle of Paletta's tears. The drink set fire to her tongue and throat and sent the tears pouring down her cheeks. Saravek snatched the bottle out of her hand and hid it behind his back.